to greet each of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to gather in the house of the Lord this morning and to look out into your faces as we have come to worship the one true and living God. There is one correction to the announcements, George Martin's address. It is Long Lane, L-O-N-G. I'm not sure what was announced before, but it is Long Lane. That's the correction to the announcements. As you're turning to Psalms 91 there, we're going to read the first 10 verses in Psalms 91. I had a few thoughts along the same lines as Dwayne was mentioning there. As we come into this celebration of our nation here, 250 years, we hear a lot of words like liberty and freedom. And we hear the phrase often, you know, freedom is not free. And we know that is true in regards to our nation. We also know that is true in regards to our Christian lives. Freedom is not free. And as I thought of freedom and liberty, as we think of freedom, what comes to our mind as a definition of freedom? Sometimes we view freedom as absence of rules or just responsibilities. It's just freedom is me being set free. I don't have anything binding me, holding me down. But is that true freedom? As we think of if there was no laws or rules to govern our nation, would we feel free? Would we feel safe to go outside or go drive down the road? If there was nothing governing us. I thought that was interesting. I've heard that explained before, and I thought it was pretty interesting. But as we went yesterday, I had kind of an interesting situation. We went to a hunter's ed course with Chase. Chase had just turned 12, so he's able to take the hunter safety course for the Pennsylvania there and get a regular license. And as the game commission officer stood up there and explained some of the things for the PA game commission, he was talking about the hunters over here represent 10% of the population in Pennsylvania. And then we have 10% on the opposite end that represent the anti-hunters. And then we have the 80% in the middle, obviously, is the public that really, it doesn't matter either way to them, hunting versus non-hunting. And she said something interesting to me. She said, we as hunters, how are we portraying how is the public seeing us as hunters? How are we portraying the sport that we love to do? We need to be careful. And it was just interesting to me. She said, we need to be careful how we portray things. Like, you don't walk into sheets with blood up to your elbows. That's not a good public image. And she said, there's no rule against that. There's not unlawful for you to do that. But you have to think about what you're doing here. How are you presenting yourself as a hunter to the public image? Or the public eye. And I thought, that makes a lot of application to us as Christians. We have liberty in Christ. The Apostle Paul says, I have liberty. All things are, lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. In other words, I can do a lot of different things, but it doesn't make sense to do them. As we go through our Christian lives, we may have the liberty to do what we want in certain situations. But how is that portraying Christ in my life? How am I portraying my Christian walk, my testimony of Jesus Christ living in my life to those around me? Just a challenge. It was to me, and I thought I'd share that with you here this morning. Reading from Psalms 91, verses 1 to 10. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, and 10,000 by thy right hand, but I shall not come, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. With the reading of the word, that's all who are able to kneel in prayer.
Good morning. We want to welcome each of you here this morning, visitors and home folks alike. This morning we want to look at Psalms 91, the first two verses, and we want to, the message of the title this morning is Under His Wings, and we want to look at the protection of our Heavenly Father. And I've been greatly encouraged this morning. The Sunday school lesson, a number of the songs that Brother Eric chose this morning have encouraged me. Yesterday, I was feeling a little like maybe what I have to say this morning isn't worth saying. But the number of those songs in the Sunday school lesson has been a confirmation that it all sort of is fitting together. And that is because the Holy Spirit has been guiding. The Holy Spirit directed Eric in the songs he chose and in the scripture for this morning's Sunday school lesson, and it's all coming together and sort of brings a tear to my eye. I thank you for praying for me, even though you maybe didn't know I was the one to be here this morning. Last week, my left knee was really bothering me. I couldn't walk right. It was just stiff and sore, and I don't know why. We got home from a trip last Saturday evening, and we unloaded a bunch of stuff, and Sunday morning, it was bothering me pretty bad, and I said, I think we better stay home so I can rest my knee, and Thursday, it cleared up. I was thinking it might be a little difficult to get up here and stand here and preach, but I'm going to do it because the good Lord took care of that. My knee feels pretty good this morning. I think that was an answer to your prayers as you prayed for me. But as we think about the protection of God, there in verses 1 and 2, primarily in verse 1, verse 2 is praise or adoration about who God is. But as I thought about this, I thought about a story that many of you maybe have heard, and I'm not going to have it exact. I don't know where it was, but I'm pulling this from memory. I heard a story years ago about a farmer who had a flock of chickens. They were out in the prairie. They were not in a hen house or in a chicken house. They were out in the grass, and there was a hen who had a brood of chicks. And as they were out there, she noticed a cloud of smoke on the horizon and seen fire and realized or knew, sensed the danger of a wildfire. And she, with a few clucks, she called those chicks under her wings. They came running, gathered under her wings, and she sat down and covered them, protected them. And as that prairie fire came and blew over that flock of chickens, it burnt that hen. It burnt those chickens. And as after the fire passed, how many of you have experienced a wildfire in the prairie? I haven't, but I've heard that they move so fast. Sometimes it just burns the feet of the wildlife, the livestock. But this fire blew across this flock of chickens and burnt the chickens. And after the fire had passed, the farmer went out to assess the damages, to see what for damages had incurred. And there his flock of chickens were all burnt. And he's standing there looking, and he heard the sound of chirping chicks. And he followed that sound. He listened, And he followed that sound, and he found a hen that he removed, and underneath of her was her brood of chicks, alive and well. Under his wings, we have protection. Under his wings, just as those chicks had the protection of that mother hen that sat down over them and faced the fire, we have protection. Jesus Christ faced that fire. He faced the punishment that you and I deserve. And if we are willing to submit ourselves, submit our wills to him, and come under him, we have that protection. Verse 1 of Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What does it mean, there dwelleth? He that dwelleth. What does it mean to dwell? To dwell is a place where we reside, a place that we call home. You've heard people say, well, that's so-and-so's dwelling, maybe. That is a place that they stay. They call that home. They know that place. They come there day after day after day, and they rest. They receive nourishment. They get a bath. That's where they live. He that dwelleth, those of us that are willing to live in the secret place. What is the secret place? Brother Eric led us in hymn number 727. Talks about the cleft of the rock. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. I believe that cleft of that rock is that secret place. What is that secret place? I think it may be different for each one of us in each different circumstance in life that we are in. That secret place might be when you have your personal devotions, when you spend time in prayer. Maybe you're sitting and Brother Dwayne likes to see the sunrise. Maybe when you're sitting and watching the sun come up in the morning, or a sunset in the evening, or a thunderstorm blowing over. Many different places can be that secret place. But a secret place is a place that is not just open for everyone. It's a personal connection. The secret place is close to the Father. So if we are willing to dwell in that secret place, in a place close to the Father where we are communing with him, there is protection. Just as those chicks gathered under that mother's wings, under that hen's wings, that was a secret place. It wasn't a place for the whole flock of chickens. That was reserved especially for them. This secret place for us to dwell in is reserved for Christ's followers. He that dwelleth in the secret place of who? The Most High. The Most High. As I think of the Most High, and as we went through the Sunday school lesson this morning, and Jesus creating all things, and because of him all things exist, who else would we want to have a secret place with? The Most High, the one that is over all, the one that has power over all, the one that has created all things. So he wants us to dwell in a place with him and have communion with him and be close to him, the Father, shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. To abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 17, verse 8, keep me as the apple of thine eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. The apple of an eye is something special. Keep me close to you. Psalms 36, verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. And then also in Psalms 57, verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. The calamities for that brood of chicks was devastation. It was death. It was being burnt. They hid under the shadow of the hen's wings till that calamity passed over. We can hide under the shadow of his wings. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word abide here again means to live, to dwell, to remain there, to not be running here and there and just unsettled, but to abide. The word abide here again means to reside or to live under the shadow of the Almighty. When I think of living in the shadow of something, what does it have to be? It's got to be greater than myself. It's got to be bigger than me. You can't be in the shadow of a hymn book that is right, maybe part of it, but you can't be in the shadow. As we are in the shadow of the wings of God, we are under something much greater than ourselves. As I studied this, the word Almighty, I don't know what you think of when you think of Almighty as God the Father, the One, the Almighty. I think of one that is overall most powerful. But the name Almighty for God actually has two meanings. One is nurturer. The other one is protector. Who else's wings do we want to be under? Who else's protection do we want to be under than someone that can nurture us, give us what we need, give us what he knows is best for us, and also give us that protection. Be our protector. As verse 1 was written, and they're not sure if it was David or Moses that wrote this psalm, but I believe as the writer wrote this psalm, they were speaking from experience. They had experienced the protection of the Almighty. And they realized, or they knew, that the reason that they had received that protection was because they were close to Him. They had that personal relationship with the Father. Does that mean that He will protect us physically? That we won't receive any physical harm, that we won't receive any physical hard times or trials, no. But definitely spiritually, He will protect us. May we go through some difficult times, yes. May we go through some battles, yes. But there is protection if we are close to the Father. And I want to point out that He does not force us to come under the shadow of His wings. He does not force us to come into that relationship. He does not force us into those secret places. It is voluntary. Just as those chicks voluntarily came running to the mother hen, it is voluntary for us to come to the Father. Verse 1, I believe, is a recipe for protection. We need to dwell in the secret place, in the shadow of the Most High. I'm sorry, we need to dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide. That means we don't go somewhere else. We abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, if we do as verse 1 says, verse 2, we can proclaim that after we experience some life, trials, and difficulties. We will be able to say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. We're going to look at that verse in a few moments, but before we go there, as we think of protection, you might say, well, what is the protection other than being close to the Father? What does it look like? And some thoughts that I add, and there's many different forms and ways that God protects us. But three that came to my mind, and I think three that are most necessary in a Christian's life, are we're going to talk about. Number one is the Word of God. The Word of God provides much protection for the follower of Christ. It's like a roadmap. It tells us how to live. It tells us what to do and what not to do. It tells us how to forgive. It tells us who God wants us to be. You know, as I thought about this, and I've had this on my mind for quite a number of weeks, and our family went on a vacation, I guess the biggest vacation I've ever been on in my life, most days off work and away from home. We were going for 19 days, and we visited a number of the western states, and I had this under his wings on my mind as we were on our trip, and you know, we ended up in Wyoming, and we're looking at the Grand Tetons, those mountains, snow-covered yet, a lake in the foreground, and it was very calm. You could almost see a perfect reflection of the Grand Tetons. We've seen majestic mountains and glacier. Those mountains, are the vast size of them blows your mind. And we drove for hours and hours to get from one to the next. And as we left those mountains, you end up in the vast prairies of Montana and Nebraska, even in Wyoming. Whose wings do you want to be under? Whose protection? God, the one that wants to have us in a secret place and protect us, he's the one that created all that. Just as we talked about in our Sunday school verses. He created all of that. He has power over all that. He created it just by speaking. He spoke it into existence. And we drove for hours. As we came across the state of Montana, we were going south on Route 191 through an Indian reservation, and you go over a rise, and the longest distance I could see till the road went out of sight was 7 miles. Drove 7 miles, and again, 2 or 3 miles, 4 or 5 miles. Vast, open area that he spoke into existence. If I'm looking for protection, that's who I want protecting me. I don't know about you. I want the protection of God the Father, the Almighty. And by following the roadmap, the Word of God, we will receive that protection. If we decide to disobey and go my own way, we are opening ourselves up to the devil, to Satan, to the enemy of God. He that is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. I want the protection of God the Father. I don't think any of us here would stand up or raise our hand to say, I want to take the devil on by myself. If we are not willing to follow the Word of God, that is what we are doing. He has the ability, or he created all things. He's the only one that had that ability. Satan couldn't. Satan has always tried to imitate God. He always tries to have a replacement, but he cannot create like God has. The second form of protection is our parents. You might say, well, how's that? Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. That's the first commandment with promise. Do you know of anyone in this world that loves you as much as your parents? Being a parent, I understand that. Maybe for those, for the young people, for the children, for those that are not married, you maybe aren't able to understand that. But as a parent, you love your children. You are looking out for their best interest. You as a parent, a good parent, tries to provide protection. We set up guidelines. We set up rules. Maybe as a father with a young child that's just learning to walk, you're right there and ready to catch them before they fall and bump their knee. I think of a mother, and some people have called them hovering mothers, mothers that are right there over their children to provide protection. Parents are another form of protection. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And for you younger people that your parents are living, you might think, well, my grandparents don't have parents anymore, or my grandparents are dead, so my parents don't have parents anymore. Well, they're still a child. They still have parents. Their parents have gone on, but I believe that falls under honor thy father and mother. That means I will continue to do what mom and dad expected of me, even if they're not here or if they're gone. If they're not present or if they're gone. So God has given each of us, it doesn't matter our age, has given each of us parents to either obey now in the present or to honor them by following what they have taught us, by following their lead. And I will say, parents fail. I have failed as a parent. But that does not change my desire to give protection and to guide our children. The number three, the third form of protection I want to look at this morning is mentioned in Hebrews 13, verse 7. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For this is unprofitable to you. And in the past, I have said that the word rule there, obey them that have the rule over you, I would like to change that to a guide. Those that guide you. Those that are looking out for your soul. King James was written, and he was a very authoritarian writer as he translated the King James Version. And so he used a word to rule over, to lead, to guide. You know, as we were on our trip, we used a number of maps to guide us when we were in Yellowstone, to guide us to different places so we could see the sites that were there to be seen. We could have went in and wandered around and we would have missed some, and we did, because there was a lot of people at some, and I wasn't interested in fighting the crowds or trying to find a parking place. But we used guides as we were on our trip. We used guides as we go through life. The Word of God is a guide. Our parents are a guide. And there are those, and I want to mention a few this morning, that have been guides to me. I already mentioned parents. I want to mention my in-laws, Lester and Cindy. I think of Grandpa Nevy. I think of Dale King. I think of Harry Nell. I think of Robert Yeo, Brother Donald Newcomer, Tom Ference. There are many people that have been guides in my life because they were looking out for my well-being. Not because they wanted to make my life hard. They wanted to make it easier. And I thank God for them. But we need to heed the warnings. When somebody may come to you, I don't care how old you may be, maybe they express a concern about something in your life that they see. We need to heed that warning. That is a form of protection that God has ordained in the structure of the church. And as I think about the church, I think of the sheepfold and the shepherd standing at the door guarding that fold. Most times that is looked at as Jesus Christ being the shepherd of the kingdom of God. And that's great. But this morning I want to look at the sheepfold as our church here this morning. There are those here, not necessarily just the ministers or the deacons, that are watching for our souls. They are guarding the door. They want to keep the enemy on the outside. And if we are not willing to come into that fold and allow those to watch over us, and we want to stand on the outside of that stone wall of that sheepfold, we make ourselves very susceptible to the enemy, to the wolves and the lions and whatever else might want to attack. So I encourage us as a congregation, and I thought about it for myself, that we don't take down the fences, the walls that have been built by our forefathers, by your grandfathers. I don't have any grandfathers that ever came here to church. By your grandfathers and grandmothers that have been set up for our protection, that we don't tear them down and do away with them. For they are a form of protection, not only for their time, but for us as well. We need to be close to the Father, dwell in His presence, near to Him. Verse 2, Psalms 91, verse 2, I will say of the Lord. So the question this morning is, am I willing to abide, to dwell or reside in that secret place under the shadow of the Almighty? So I can say this, because if we're not going to hide there, if we're not going to stay there, we cannot say, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. The word refuge and fortress here have two different meanings. They sound pretty similar when you first read over them. It sounds like it's sort of a repeat. The word refuge here is a shelter. A refuge, a shelter that we trust in. What do you think of when you think of refuge? A place to hide from something. A place to hide from a storm. When I think of refuge, I think of refugees. Those that have run away from home to get away from war and unrest to another country. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my place to hide when the storms come. We got to know where that is. We got to be familiar with that place. We need to spend some time there so we know how to get there. We know where it is and we can run there and we know we can trust that it is a shelter. The word fortress, a castle, defense, a fort, a place to hold up when I am being hunted. Have you ever been hunted? Who is going about all over the earth like a lion, seeking whom he may destroy? Satan. Each one of us, each child of God, is being hunted by that lion. A fortress is a place, unlike a refuge where we can run to hide from something. A fortress is a place that we can go to and we're going to stand against the battle. We're going to fight. We're not running to hide at a fortress. were running to prepare for battle. And I realize we're non-resistant, but in the spiritual world, we are not. We must fight. We must stand and fight. We have to have a fortress to be in, or we will be overcome. We will be beaten very quickly, because as I said earlier, I don't think any one of us want to stand on our own to fight Satan. So as we go through life and we dwell in that secret place and we're under that protection of God Almighty, and I don't want to have us looking at God Almighty as a big chicken with his wings spread out, but I believe he has his wings spread out. He has an umbrella of protection over us. And as we face those trials in life, those difficulties, whether they're physical or spiritual, we need to have a refuge to run to, and we need to have a fortress that we know we can fight the battle and we can overcome. Then we can say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. There's nothing else that we can trust in. My God, and in him will I trust. Our trust will grow. Our trust will become stronger as we face those trials and we fight those battles and we overcome. And we will know that we can trust in God, that it doesn't matter what comes, he's the one that we can hide in. And again, as I think of those mountains there in the Rocky Mountains, we didn't see any. They were there. I didn't see them. Some mountain goats. I wanted to see some mountain goats up on those rock ledges. They were created for that. They were created for that habitat, to be high in the mountain, to be on those narrow ledges. God made them especially for that kind of habitat. And God has made each one of us for where he has us. Maybe sometimes we wonder, but we need to put our trust in God. God made the moose. We've seen a moose out in a small lake. He made the moose for that swampy habitat. They can eat the grass underwater. The mountain goat wouldn't survive there. Not very well. But as we look around us, and we see creation around us, it points to God the Father, the one who wants to lead us and guide us, to nurture us, and to protect us. The one that has created us, and he knows what is best for each of us. He knows what we can handle. He knows who we are. Do we know him? Do we have a desire to dwell with him, to dwell in that secret place, that personal relationship that's just between you and him, under the shadow of his wings, under that protection? If we are not willing to submit ourselves and come to him, and I thought this morning, I think we sang a song that talked about the shadow of the cross. If we are not willing to come under the shadow of that cross and submit our wills to him, we put ourselves out from under the protection of the Father. And as I was sitting and studying, and I asked Dustin up here this morning what the title of the song is, and he said he don't think it's in our books. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We don't run to the Father. We don't hide in that secret place. for any other reason than because we love him. Because he first loved us. And because of that free grace. Brother Paul mentioned last Sunday morning about the free grace. Dwayne mentioned it this morning in opening. The grace of God. That is what gives us the protection. As here in closing, as we think about the protection of God the Father, think of the largest thing in this world that you can imagine, or think of, or seen, or experienced, and realize that God the Father created that by speaking, and he wants that personal relationship with each of us. And he wants to protect us. He wants us to willingly come under the shadow of his wings.
There's a couple metaphors that are used here in this passage that we're actually familiar with. When we talk about walking in the shadow of someone else, we're talking about someone else has gone before and they've left a footprint and an impression and a reputation that's greater than ours. And so when we're walking in someone else's shadow, it's that idea there. We also use the expression, you might look at someone and say, well, they've had a very tough time in life. They haven't had a very good upbringing. Someone should just take them under their wing and mentor them and give them encouragement and guidance in life. And so this thought of being under the shadow and being under the wing, or walking in the shadow and being under the wing, are metaphors that we commonly use. You could say there's a third one there, dwelling in the secret place. The thought of dwelling in someone's secret place is you have a relationship that's close enough, complete confidence that there's no secrets between us. And so the thought with these three metaphors is, if I come into God's secret place, there's no secrets between us. We dwell in confidence with one another. Now I'm walking under God's shadow because he is greater than I am. So now I'm overshadowed by someone who is larger than me, has more capability than I do, and then I'm also under his wing, under his protection. And so these are the promises that God has given us, metaphors that we come to use in our life, but maybe don't think of how they trace back to biblical concepts that affect how we live on a daily basis. Let's stand for closing prayer.